This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen with you. We are from rotowire.com. Fun day coming up. We got a new game. We're calling it Rate That Prop. We'll be doing that in segment two. Excited to test that one out. AJ Schultz is going to join us from RotoWire to talk about hockey, Stars, Oilers, review what happened last night with Carolina notching a W against the Florida Panthers. I got my strikeout prop of the day coming up as well. Looking forward to talking a lot of baseball today. Lots to cover there. But first, got to recap the night that was in the NBA. Best game of the Western Conference Finals so far. OKC holding on to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. We didn't get that cover. I'm a little annoyed about how that. We can talk about that later. But still, fun back and forth game.
If you watch enough NBA, Jeff, you had the feeling in those last few minutes that that cover was simply not going to happen. I think you texted our group chat with like 2 minutes left. You're like, yep, that's how you blow a cover. And that's exactly what happened. OKC, once again, played the free throw game. You know, credit to Mark Daigneault for sticking to his guns. Obviously, it burned him earlier in the playoffs against the Denver Nuggets, but ended up working out for OKC late in this one, despite a missed free throw by SGA toward the end. But you know, I thought this was about as well as Minnesota could have played, given that they did not get a great game out of Anthony Edwards. You know, once again, got a dud out of Julius Randle. But you know, you look at some of these overall offensive numbers for Minnesota, and I think the Timberwolves, and you can see it on Chris Finch's face, I thought, after the game and his pressure, they were in kind of a state of disbelief. You know, it's like we had such a great role player game all the way around and still somehow lost this game at home. I mean, they played literally one of their best offensive games of the season. That was with Anthony Edwards taking 13 shots, put up a 133 offensive rating on the best defense in the NBA, shot 51% from the field. They hit 18 threes. They won the rebounding battle. They had 19 offensive rebounds. They shot more free throws than the Thunder. They got 64 bench points, 12 threes from the bench alone, and still could not come through. As you know, I like to do in these situations, Jeff, when you have an unlikely event in the world of sports, you go over to Stathead and you see how unlikely was this. So in the three-point era, we're basically talking, you know what, the last, I don't know, 40 plus years of NBA games, teams that shoot at least 50%, hit more threes than their opponent, take more free throws than their opponent, and win the rebounding battle, those teams going into last night were 187-5.
Unbelievable. And typical of these playoffs where we've seen a lot of little, this hasn't happened since X milestones there.
Yes.
We texted at halftime, family man Anthony Edwards only had two shots at halftime there. Julius Randle only had four shots. Yeah. Why? You know, I think, was this just OKC playing well, or is there something Chris Finch can do to kind of, you know, increase that? I mean, I guess, you know, the Timberwolves scored 126 points. Offense wasn't really the issue here.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I think the two obvious things, of course, were Randle and Anthony Edwards not matching the play of all the role players. And, you know, turnovers were still an issue for Minnesota as well. Although, you know, OKC committed 14 turnovers. Minnesota actually had more points off turnovers than the Thunder did. But the Thunder are one of the only teams, Jeff, that I almost enjoy watching defensively more than I do offensively. You know, offense is so good right now across the NBA that it's hard to, you know, to define many teams that even play consistently great defense. But watching Cason Wallace, watching Lu Dort navigate screens, obviously, Alex Caruso has been in that discussion as well. I mean, there were multiple instances where, you know, Cason Wallace was stuck on Rudy Gobert in the second half last night. And it's not what you want necessarily if you're OKC, but you're comfortable with it because Cason Wallace, he's given up a foot to Gobert, but he's just grabbing the ball away from him. They're so good with those active hands defensively. And you know, I think Minnesota, you know, once again, started getting frustrating with the refereeing. You know, Anthony Edwards certainly felt that, I think, in the first half, and you know, that carried over to the second. But I think the NBA has kind of found a happy medium here where I don't see a lot of fouls for OKC. There's a lot of plays that you're just not used to seeing in an NBA game, guys just getting the ball ripped away from them. But then you see it in slow motion. You're like, yeah, that was clean. And there's a reason that we're not seeing these plays challenged. So, you know, the big thing for Minnesota was the turnovers. We knew that was going to be an issue coming into this series. But as far as what OKC did on Anthony Edwards, you know, Edwards, once again, after the game is like, yeah, you know, I don't really think I had a bad game. I just, you know, I didn't take enough shots to have a bad game. That's on you, man. I mean, you got to figure out ways to be more assertive. But I thought the Thunder were excellent with their secondary level defense. Like, Edwards was getting by the primary defender, The problem was he's getting into the lane, and usually when he's, you know, Euro stepping around a defender for a layup, the Thunder were bringing, you know, one or two extra defenders at Anthony Edwards, kind of making him get up in the air, have to make a decision, turn the ball over, or he's kicking it out. There just weren't opportunities for clean finishes at the rim for Edwards. And we knew OKC would refocus after game three. You wouldn't say this was a great defensive effort because of how well Minnesota shot the ball, but to be able to limit Anthony Edwards and limit Julius Randle, you have to pick your battles. You're in the Western Conference Finals. All these teams are really good teams. You can't shut down everybody. And I think they went into game four and said, look, we'll take our chances. We'll let Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Terrence Shannon and Dante DiVincenzo beat us. They almost did. But when you shut down Edwards and Randle to that degree, that's how you come out winning a game like this that all the numbers say you should not have won.
Yeah. And to your point about like the reffing being a little bit different, so is the defense. You know, it's the playoffs, first of all, and the intensity is a lot different, but also so is the scheming. I mean, especially in a long series where you get to play each other in a 7-game series, you really get to dial in on a team's tendencies. Yep. You start to really figure what works and what doesn't work and how you attack. And then there's the counter moves and all that comes with that.
Right.
It's just a different brand of basketball.
Right. And I think this Thunder team is specifically engineered to limit players like Anthony Edwards, as opposed to someone like Nikola Jokic in the second round, who gave them a lot more trouble. Like you look at the defensive strengths for this team, like Hartenstein's fine. Chet Holmgren, I think, is a better defender than he's giving credit for. It's not just the blocks with him. But this team has Lu Dort, Alex Caruso, Cason Wallace. SGA is a very good defender. Jalen Williams is a very good defender. Like they are built to limit or shut down guards, you know, and that was a big part of the reason that I liked OKC in this series. I mean, they're the better team overall. They won 68 games in the regular season, but I think they are engineered to slow down someone even as dynamic and athletic as Anthony Edwards is. And we're seeing that as the series continues to play out. We do need to heap some praise on OKC, by the way, because, you know, we could sit here and say, oh man, Minnesota played so well, they should have won. Well, part of the reason that they didn't win is that OKC essentially matched them offensively. I mean, they put up a 135 offensive rating. They did a better job taking care of the ball. They were lethal in the mid-range, both SGA and Jalen Williams. I mean, they hit 11 shots in the long mid-range last night. Those shots for a lot of teams have basically been phased out of the game, but OKC continues to feast in that area. And, you know, I think whoever wins the Jalen Williams versus Julius Randle battle in this series, I think would have the upper hand. And Jalen Williams has won that battle so far. I mean, that was maybe the best playoff game of Jalen Williams' career last night, and hit big shot after big shot. I mean, Minnesota was essentially matching those shots down the stretch. And every time, you know, they'd get that lead down to two, down to three, down to four, it felt like there was Jalen Williams, you know, giving the Thunder more of a cushion.
Indeed. Game five tomorrow in OKC. They're 8.5-point favorite. The total is 220.5. I think that game opened at 9, has been bet down to 8.5. But that's where we're at with that. Pacers and New York play tonight. We're going to preview that. But first, are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. Nick, we've got game four, Pacers and Knicks. Starts off with Aaron Nesmith, I think, is a big factor in this game.
No question. And obviously Aaron Nesmith, you know, dealing with that ankle injury, was able to play through it toward the end of game three, but we know how these things go, right? It's not always, you know, the night of the injury where you have the most severe effects. You know, it can be the days after, and he's officially listed as questionable. I think they'll essentially make this a game time decision. My expectation is that we see Aaron Nesmith out there. It's just a question of how effective will he be? Will he be on any sort of soft minutes limit? Is there a chance of re-injury for that ankle? And if Nesmith doesn't play or he is limited, what is the pivot? Who guards Jalen Brunson? Who do you turn to on that bench? Do we see more Ben Mathurin, who it feels like Rick Carlisle is kind of at his last wit right now as far as trusting him? And Indiana is plus 8.8 on the net rating with Nesmith on the court in these playoffs. Their defensive rating is actually better with Nesmith off the court. That doesn't really add up to me. Maybe there's some noise in that sample, but the offensive rating drops off a cliff. They go from 121.3 points per 100 to 106.9 with Aaron Nesmith off the floor. So again, I expect him to play, but it's not a given that he'll be close to 100%. I think still the pressure, Jeff, in this series is on the New York Knicks. I know you as a Pacers fan are very nervous for this game. You know, had they won the other day and gone up 3-0, it certainly would have felt like this series was over. But I still think the pressure is on New York. You have to win this game. You don't want to go back home. down 3-1 and feel like you're completely backed into a corner here. And you know, the Pacers feel like they let one slip away in game three. You're leading by double digits heading into the fourth quarter. But at the same time, Jeff, I feel like they were kind of due for one of these fourth quarters to go against them. I still have faith in Indiana. They, to me, have been the steadier team so far in this series. I think they have a bigger jump to make from game three to game four. They went just 5 of 25 from three-point range. You have to think that number comes around tonight.
Yeah, I see. I feel the pressure is on Indiana because if they go back to New York back and give away home court advantage again, I just feel it's a different vibe in the series. But this is also me as a fan failing to be objective about it there. I mean, you know, I have to be the one media guy that talks about the Pacers because everyone else in the world talks about the Knicks.
Thank you.
So therefore, I have to identify with that. But that's okay. That's okay. I think Nebhard's got to hit shots early. I think get his confidence up. And I think Nesmith's ankle is really a big factor in this one here. As you alluded to, Mathurin really hasn't been a good option offensively or defensively. I think he's been a weak link. I think we've seen a little bit too much of the bench exotics in this series. Tony Bradley getting too many minutes, in my opinion. It's fun when he makes a contribution. It's great. Oh, look, they're playing 11 players. I think their main five need to step up a little bit more. And I think that this was a failing all across the board for that. I also think there was some things that went wrong too. Just they made like 5 threes the entire game. That's just not their game.
Right.
We'll see about that one. They're very excited about that game tonight. We'll have plenty to talk about recapping that tomorrow. When we come back, we're going to do some more things about this game with Rate That Prop. Next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. It's time for Rate That Prop. Our producer, Michael Cohen, has carefully curated player props, and we will have a scaling meter from 1 to 5. And we will rate the prop based on the player, their latest stats, and the price. 1 equals bad, 2 okay, 3 decent, 4 good, 5 is fantastic. Let's get started. Nick Whalen, Jalen Brunson, over 29.5 points at -120. Rate that prop.
All right, for the inaugural Rate That Prop, the first ever prop that we are rating on the show, Jeff, I think Michael did a good job here. I'm going to give this one a 4 out of 5. So we're looking at over 29.5 points for Jalen Brunson. -120 is the price. He, of course, has gone over that number in 2 of 3 games in this series. The free throws have been a big part of that. He's averaging almost 10 free throw attempts per game in this series. I think that gives him a nice baseline, even when the shots aren't falling or that early volume isn't there. Talked a little bit about the Aaron Nesmith injury in the last segment. He has been the primary defender on Jalen Brunson. If Aaron Nesmith is unavailable or he can't handle that matchup tonight, then it's Andrew Nembhard. Maybe we see some Ben Shepherd on Jalen Brunson. And the individual possession numbers would tell you that Brunson's actually had a decent amount of success against Nesmith. He's shooting 50% from the field when defended by Aaron Nesmith. But if you're watching these games, I mean, Brunson has to work. He has to work so hard just to even get those looks off. So I think if he doesn't see Aaron Nesmith tonight, that is a big benefit for Jalen Brunson. And like I said, Jeff, we may disagree on this, but I still think this is somewhat of a desperation situation for the Knicks. It's great to still be alive in the series, but you're down double digits heading into the fourth quarter. Your season basically almost ended 48 hours ago. You know you cannot go down 3-1. So I think we see volume from Jalen Brunson tonight. I think he recognizes the situation. You certainly hope the three-point shooting comes around. He went just 1 of 6 from three in game one, 1 of 5 from three in game three, did have 5 three-pointers in game two. So it's been kind of feast or famine in that regard. But ultimately, in this specific spot, I think 29.5, a very attainable number for a guy who's averaging 29.9 points per game for these playoffs.
Yeah, I think if the minutes are there, the prop will be there. You know, if he doesn't get into foul trouble, if he doesn't sit for extended periods of time because of his defense, things that were pointed out from game three, and actually not just from game three, there were stretches in game two where he sat out decent chunks of time as well.
Yep.
I think that's the one thing that could probably hold him back from making that prop, but I'm with you. I kind of like this one. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the next one. Karl Anthony Towns, over 33.5 points and points plus rebounds at -105. Nick Whalen, rate that prop.
We're going to give this a 3 out of 5. So what does that translate to? Decent. decent. You know, getting this at minus 105, I think is solid value. There's a case that this was maybe closer to a 3.5 than a 3 for me. I did want to go a little bit higher, but there is still this inherent distrust factor with Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. You know, he was excellent in the fourth quarter on Sunday, you know, almost single-handedly dragged the Knicks back from that deficit, delivered them the win, but did not play well in the first three quarters, right? You never know which version of Karl Anthony Towns it feels like you're going to get night to night. And, you know, sometimes you see two or three different versions of him within one specific game. So the hope here is that he builds some confidence and that carries over to tonight's game four. But really, I think this is a pretty attainable number sitting at 33.5. Like, we're not asking Karl Anthony Towns to necessarily have a monster game, right? I mean, something like 21 points and 13 rebounds feels pretty realistic, feels pretty attainable for Karl Anthony Towns. You know, he has double digit rebounds in 9 of his last 11 postseason games dating back to that Detroit series. He's been getting to the line 5-6 times per game in this series. You know, the big key for him, like Jalen Brunson, will be avoiding foul trouble. But if he could do that, I think, like I said, we're not asking for a ton here. I think we're just asking for an above average Karl Anthony Towns game. I think we can get that. I'll play that over 33.5.
See, it feels to me like there's a little bit of yin and yang with whether it's a Brunson game or a Towns game. You know, this dates back to the Detroit series, yeah, for that matter, too. And if they're running a lot of ISOs for Jalen Brunson, that means that Towns isn't getting into those looks as much. Maybe he'll gets there on the glass a little bit more. But I kind of, you notice, like, when Towns went into beast mode in game three, Brunson was on the bench for most of that. You know, they were looking to Towns.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the counter to that would be game one, right? Where both of them went off. You know, Brunson had, what, 43,
yeah,
Towns
true.
Had 35. And so I think there is a world in which they could coexist. But you are right. I think especially early in the postseason, it did feel like it was my turn or your turn. And there were nights where Karl Anthony Towns just wasn't involved. But it felt to me like midway through the Boston series, a corner was turned. Like, you know, you look at his last 8 games. So that is what, game two onward from that Celtics series. He hasn't scored fewer than 19 points in any of those games, right? He was a lot more hit or miss, mm-hmm, a lot more fickle game to game earlier in the playoffs. I do think he has settled into a groove. And then, like you said, the rebounding just gives him a really nice baseline when you're looking at these combo props.
Nick Whalen using facts to address my hypothesis there. Hate it when he does that, but yeah, so it goes. Next one, Tyrese Halliburton, double-double at plus 100. Mm-hmm. Rate that prop.
Oh, we're going 4 out of 5 here. This is another banger from our guy, Michael Cohen. Bang. And I'm not just being kind here. These are actual props that I like. I had no say in these. Michael just put them in there and I looked at them and I said, you know what? I think I might play all 3 of these. So we're getting this at plus money. Tyrese Halliburton does have 2 double doubles in this series already. We're specifically looking at the assists. There's a chance he could get there with rebounds. I think he had 8 boards in game 2, but really it's about the points and the assists here. He has a double-double in 7 of 13 postseason games thus far, 2 of 3 games in this series. You know, I don't think we really have to worry about the scoring. I'd be very surprised if he finishes under 10 points. The assist chances, that's what we're concerned about. He's averaging 16 potential assists per game for the series. In terms of adjusted assists, the numbers say he's losing about 2 per game compared to the average rate of conversion on those potential assists. So I will lean on the data here. I will say that maybe that does come around. Certainly the Pacers shooting better than 5 of 25 from 3 would help. They do need a little bit more scoring, though, I think, out of Tyrese Halliburton. You know, he is somewhat of a reluctant scorer. He certainly prefers to be the setup man. So I'll be curious to see if he can kind of take on that mindset. But again, I think Indiana shoots it better than they did in game 3. They bricked a ton of threes. They weren't able to generate the same level of shot quality that they had for most of the playoffs. I mean, they were 2 of 13 on wide open threes in game 3. So at plus money, we'll give this a 4 out of 5. We will play a Tyrese Halliburton double-double tonight. All right, we got some baseball props to discuss in a moment. But first, smarter bets start with VSiN Pro, and now is the time to join. Through May 31st, you can lock in 14 months for just $199, 2 extra months free when you use the promo code PRO, P-R-O, at checkout. That's less than 50 cents a day. And for that, you're getting a daily email with best bets for VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN's analytics, trends, and expert breakdowns. Plus, you'll get the 2025-26 NFL betting guide when it drops this summer. This limited time offer ends May 31st. You got 4 days. Don't miss out. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use that promo code PRO, P-R-O, to sign up now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, we're turning the tables, Jeff. It is now your turn to rate some MLB props for tonight's slate. We will start with Logan Webb over 5.5 strikeouts, -160. What do you rate this one?
Only a 3 out of 5. I mean, there, I think there's some pros and cons on this one here. Detroit, they do strike out a decent amount against right-handers, 22.9% of the time. That's fifth in baseball, fifth highest in baseball versus right-handed pitchers. You know, when you dig into the props every day, you kind of, it's interesting. You see like how many more strikeouts lefties get than righties get on average. But still, this is a pretty high number for against right-handers. Webb is a much better, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later. Webb is a much better pitcher at home than he is on the road. However, a lot of his strikeout props have hit more on the road. His strikeout numbers are actually better on the road, believe it or not. So I think what you're seeing is he's more willing to put balls in play at home than he is on the road. He's hit this prop in 7 of 11 starts. And the fact that he's already made 11 starts is, I think, kind of noteworthy. But he hasn't made it in his last two. So, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons on this. But then where I get to here, and this is where I probably only give it a 3. I mean, is the reason I only give it a 3 is the payout here. Most of the strikes that we find are like somewhere in the range of, you know, -120 to +120. -160 for 5.5. That means it's really been bet up from its original number there to begin with there. You're just not getting the payoff that I'd like. So that's why I'm kind of negative on that one, why I don't rate it any higher than a 3.
All right, let's finish out with a nice little Ronald Acuna prop back in the mix now for the Atlanta Braves. Ronald Acuna to hit at least one home run. Could be any number of home runs, Jeff, but at least one today, getting that at 5-1. Braves going up against Ranger Suarez and the Phillies.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be the first pitch. It doesn't have to be the first at-bat. We're talking anytime home run. 4 out of 5 I give on this one here. Not a slam dunk because no home run prop is a slam dunk, but you know, he saw the solo shot on the first pitch he saw in returning from his injury. You know, +500, that's a pretty good price. You know, when we were talking about home run props, we've done home run Thursday the last 2 weeks, dinger prop Thursday, and it's come in. It's usually been at like +400 range. This is +500, and it's for Ronald Acuna Jr. Pitcher today is Ranger Suarez for the Phillies, left-handed pitcher. Over the last 3 years, he's allowed 28 homers, 24 of them have been against right-handed hitters. He's given up one so far this season. This is only his fifth start, I believe. So not a huge home run guy, and that's why the price is pretty good. But I think Cunha is just good enough to pull it off. So 4 out of 5 on this rate the prop.
All right, there we have it. Should be a fun game. Spencer Strider on the hill tonight for the Atlanta Braves. They are slight underdogs on the money line, -102. Phillies, -118. We'll have more baseball bets coming your way later in the show. We got to talk some hockey. AJ Schultz joining us on the Progressive Guest Line when we come back.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us now in the Progressive Guest Line is RotoWire hockey editor AJ Schultz. AJ, welcome to the show. Carolina gets their first W in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Florida Panthers. 3-0 shutout there. Pretty impressive to bounce back, at least to get one game. Still don't like their chances in the series, but at least they showed some fight last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what a weird series where you have the Panthers go into Carolina to start, take both games on the road, then the Hurricanes, you know, take game 4 in pretty convincing fashion. But I agree with you, Jeff. It's a huge hill to climb at this point. They do have 2 more games at home, although that didn't matter in games 1 or 2. But if it's a factor, they at least have the benefit of having 2 of the last 3 games here at home. I don't see them beating the Panthers in 4 straight.
I mean, is there a way that you would bet this series the rest of the way, AJ? I mean, maybe it's as simple as if you like Florida, you just take them on the money line, -115 tomorrow night. But would you look into, you know, the series spread markets, a correct score, total games, anything like that?
I definitely think the money line just straight up in that game is totally in play here. But I think I would probably lean of the series correct scores here. The 4-2 comes in +210. I could see Carolina getting one more here. They're playing at home. But then you have game 6 back in Florida. And that's where I see this thing wrapping up. So I think the 4-2 of the series lines there makes the most sense to me.
There's been some chippiness in this series, shockingly enough, when you're talking about a Florida Panthers team. But it was actually Carolina that Sebastian Aho hit in game two. I think that is kind of sparking everything. And then in game three, we got a late a retaliation from Tkachuk. And afterward, Carolina is like, we didn't protect him. We weren't feisty enough. Did you see that fight last night? Do you see anything else carrying over into game five into the series?
Well, I think the problem here for Carolina is that they're getting sucked into the same vortex that the Lightning absolutely got sucked into. And to some extent, Toronto, is that the Florida Panthers just bug you. They just annoy you. And they've got a team of guys in Marchand and Tkachuk, Ekblad, that'll just drive you insane. And then you're not playing your brand of hockey. And that's surprising for a team as well coached as Rod Brind'Amour's team is. That they would fall into that trap. So I think they need to avoid that and let game four be game four and not get sucked into that if they want any hope of pulling this off.
Talk with our guy, AJ Scholes, one of our hockey experts over at rotowire.com. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. AJ, trying to kind of take a holistic look at this Florida team. Obviously, they're on the doorstep of what would be, you know, a third consecutive Stanley Cup final berth. You know, lost in 23, won last year, have a chance to repeat. Where does this run kind of rank for you in terms of recent history? What are we looking at, you know, for the next 2 or 3 years beyond this? I mean, is there the potential essentially for a mini dynasty here with the Florida Panthers?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. You know, I put it right up there. If they can make it back, it's right up there with Tampa. Tampa did the exact same thing. Somehow the state of Florida has become like the epicenter of hockey at this point. But, you know, they are built for the future here. Barkov is signed long-term. Tkachuk, Reinhart, Verhaeghe, all those offensive pieces. Yes, you know, what happens with Brad Marchand, we'll have to wait and see. Their blue line is pretty solid. Obviously, Bobrovsky is a heavy price tag and is on, you know, he's 36. He's on the back half of his career. But for the most part, this is a well-built lineup. All of those forwards that I mentioned are under 30 right now. So I don't see any reason that they couldn't continue to be for sure in the playoff picture for several more years to come. But even competing at, you know, conference finals levels, making a few more finals as well. That it's just a well-built lineup.
We're going to talk about the Western Conference final game tonight between Edmonton and Dallas. But first, take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or Saratoga Racecourse, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for up the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Let's take a look at tonight's game between Edmonton and Dallas. The puck line is 6.5. The over-under is 6.5 on this one. The money line is Edmonton minus 155, Dallas plus 130. Edmonton leading 2-1. They're rolling right now, but for one period, one bad period in the third period against the Stars in game one. They could be looking for the sweep tonight instead.
I've been really surprised with the play of Stuart Skinner between the Nets here. Just so inconsistent at points throughout the year, but seems to be finding it at the right time after struggling earlier in the postseason. So I have been surprised by that. But for tonight, I think it's a Dallas game tonight. It just has that feel to me. They've got, again, a similarly very deep forward group. They've got offensive pieces on the blue line. One of the best netminders in the league in Jake Oettinger. So when you can get them at plus money at plus 130, I think you take the value there and take the Stars to get one tonight.
All right. Beyond that, AJ, I know you have a play on the total and you're looking at a Connor McDavid prop as well.
Yeah. The total for this one, 6.5, they're offensively built teams. Now I know, again, we've been seeing better play out of Stuart Skinner. He's been limiting the Stars' offense the last two games, but that doesn't necessarily have to impact the total here. We saw 6.5 go over in game three, which was a 6-1 result for the Oilers. So they've got a ton of offense. Both teams are capable of putting up points. So I think the over just makes a lot of sense, especially when you consider that you're getting plus value on it. And then it's almost like a double down. When you look at McDavid and the points prop, you can get him plus over 1.5 points, comes in at -115. Still really good value. You are giving up a little bit of juice, obviously, but he's hit that over in 2 of the last 3 games. He's actually done it in 7 of the 14 playoff games for Edmonton so far. So backing McDavid is never a bad play when you can find decent value on it. So I don't mind his anytime goal scorer odds either, although he's been more picking up assists so far in the postseason, 17 of those compared to just 5 goals right now. So that's why I back the points.
You know, we talked earlier about Florida and how well they're set up for the future. I get the sense it's kind of now or never with Edmonton and the crew that they've assembled here. You know, they're already kind of not as deep around Draisaitl and McDavid. Is that the case, or can there be a reboot if they don't get through here? Do they have to reboot if they don't get through this year?
Well, I think question number one is, what is the long-term future with Connor McDavid? He is signed for next season, but then after that, you know, can they get something done July 1? And I think how well they could do in the postseason is going to be a factor in that. If they make it to the finals, I think no question he'll re-sign quickly and easily this summer. If they fail to get out of the Western Conference Finals, does he think about it? Does he let that contract kind of linger and carry over? You know, part of the problem too for this team, you mentioned a lack of depth around him and Draisaitl. Draisaitl's making $14 million against the cap. McDavid is 12.5. That's only going to go up. And I know the cap is projected to go up the next couple of years, but when you have two guys eating into about a fourth of your salary cap, that's a lot of struggle to build out the rest of this lineup. So I do think it does have a now or never feel, and I tend to agree with you, Jeff.
In the event that Connor McDavid, AJ, would ever leave Edmonton, is there an obvious spot? You know, is there a team that's been sniffing around? Is there a spot that you think would be, you know, a fun, realistic landing spot?
Oh, man, that's a question. You know, I think it would have to be somebody that's a contender, somebody that's got salary cap space. You know, I don't know how tied he would be to staying in Canada. I feel like we'd see a similar thing. Like when Gretzky left Edmonton, he went to LA and joined the Kings. So I don't know that it would be another Canadian team necessarily. New York could certainly be an option. The Rangers are getting close to being ready for a retool on their roster. They've been doing it kind of on the fly. So if they could, you know, snag him, that would be a huge get. But I would guess very similar. You'd see large market contending team that just needs that superstar, and probably not another Canadian team.
AJ, awesome stuff, man. Always appreciate you giving us some time, stopping by the show. You can check out all of AJ's great work over at rotowire.com. You can hear him on our hockey podcast, catch him on our YouTube channel, and you can give him a follow on Twitter over at AJSchulz24. Best of luck tonight, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good one. Enjoy all the sports we got going.
There he goes. AJ Schulz, everybody. Again, check him out over at rotowire.com. We got baseball bets galore coming your way next. Jeff's best bets for the Tuesday slate. We'll have our G-Bank best bets as well coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson in the saddle with you for another 15 minutes, taking you right up to the top of the hour, at which point Make It Rain with Adam Schein starts up at 3 p.m. Eastern. He's going to have Zach Cohen from VSiN.com on the show today, giving out his best bets for the NBA. Jeff, we now turn our attention to a big Major League Baseball slate tonight. No day games on the ledger on this Tuesday, but we do have some news out of almost at Oakland, out of Sacramento, out of the A's organization. Nick Kurtz, their top prospect, who they called up earlier this season, landing on the IL with a strained hip flexor, backdated that a couple of days. Still unclear just how long he may remain out, but this is not what you want to see if you're the Oakland A's, if you're a fantasy baseball player. Jeff, I know you have some exposure to Nick Kurtz, but this A's team, like 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting here asking you, man, could the A's maybe make the playoffs in the American League? Well, since then, they have lost 15 of their last 18.
Narrator, no, they cannot make the playoffs, apparently. They're going to use that arrested development device there. But Kurtz was coming off his best week, too. That's the thing that's really frustrating. Four homers last week. He was drawing walks, had five walks in his last three games. So he's starting to see the ball better. He's starting to hunt pitches that he could attack. You're starting to see the signs of what made him such a good prospect in the first place. Now he gets that all that progress stopped. That happened Saturday night. He sat out Sunday. They're making a bunch of changes with the Athletics too. JJ Bleday got sent down. Denzel Clark got called up. He's a good defensive outfielder, actually a top 300 prospect in James Anderson's prospect rankings. But Clark's been struggling at the plate. He knows the first three games as an Athletic, 0 for 10 with 8 strikeouts. That doesn't mean he can't recover from that, but it looks like he's a little overmatched right now. And speaking of overmatched, they face Hunter Brown tonight in Houston. Houston minus 245, the Athletics plus 200 tonight.
All right, let's get to your best bets, Jeff, for this Tuesday night slate. We got the Dodgers at the Guardians in Cleveland. Dodgers minus 135 on the money line, total sitting at 8.5. Dustin May going for the Dodgers, taking on Tanner Bibee, and going right to the K props here for Dustin May.
Yeah, and you know, Dustin May's coming off a couple of really good starts. He allowed just one run against the Diamondbacks last time out, struck out 8, a team that doesn't strike out very much, which, you know, I'm kind of, that has my attention. I did fade Tanner Bibee last week against Detroit. I feel great shame about that one. He had his best outing instead through 7 shutout innings. 8 Ks in his own right there. There's some rain in the forecast. Watch out for that. See if it gets a little worse. Cleveland strikes out more than I thought they did, especially at home. 23.6% K percentage. So one of the highest home strikeout rates in baseball. So we're going to go with the Dustin May over 5.5 Ks prop. Last night it was at plus 120. Check this, find where you get it at there as you go forward. But I kind of like that May K prop.
Two of the best teams in baseball, the San Francisco Giants taking on the best team in baseball right now, the Detroit Tigers. This one in Detroit, and yet we do have the Giants as slight favorites on the money line, minus 122, low total here at 7. Logan Webb, we talked about earlier in the show, going up against Jack Flaherty. Is this a spot, Jeff, where you think about grabbing Detroit at plus money on the money line?
Yeah, I do. It's Detroit plus 100, and it's fun. At least it was. I think it's actually been pushed a little bit there. It's now minus 102. So the money's kind of going in that direction to begin with. The total's moving up. Actually, it's up to 7.5. Started at 7. Webb, we talked about him a little bit earlier in Rate My Prop. I think that's one of the things that we're going to be looking for with him. He's coming off his worst outing of the year. He's typically a lot better at home than on the road. 3.86 on ERA on the road this year. Over in previous years, it's 4.16 on the road compared to 1.39 at home this year and 2.38 over the last 3 years. The fact they were getting a decent price on Detroit on the money line, I'm going to go that route. I think Detroit's the better team. Mm-hmm. Webb's a slightly better pitcher than Flaherty, but I don't think that gap is that big. So let's go with the Detroit money line.
Got a battle within the NL East tonight. Braves on the road at the Phillies. This one close on the money line. Phillies minus 112 right now at DK. 8.5 is our total. We already talked about the potential viability of a Ronald Acuna home run prop in this game. Ranger Suarez, a lefty on the hill for the Phillies. But I'm curious, Jeff, your expectations for Spencer Strider tonight.
Yeah, and I think any discussion has to start with him. Struggled in his last outing, allowed 4 runs against the Nats, 6 hits, a walk, 2 hit batters, a home run to Dylan Cruz. Noteworthy is the velocity on the home run, 95.1 mile an hour, 4-seam fastball. Back when he was fully healthy, it was 97.3 in 2023. Keep in mind, though, that I don't know if this is where he's his true level. Yeah, he in his last IL stint, Strider didn't have any minor league rehab starts. He had a couple simulated games where the velocity was down. He might still be building back arm strength. It's hard to say for the guy coming back from a second Tommy John. So it's just really a tough spot here. Suarez, meanwhile, is pitching pretty well in his last three games. Keep in mind that was against Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and the pace-eating Colorado Rockies. I think the Braves are still vulnerable against left-handed pitching, although most of those stats have been compiled without Ronald Acuna. So that makes it a little tough. I'm leaning on the Philly money line at minus 112.
Let's move over to the Twins and the Tampa Bay Rays. Minnesota minus 125 money line favorite there. Another game with an 8.5 total. Joe Ryan going up against Taj Bradley. I know we're looking for some value in this game, Jeff. A Carlos Correa home run, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way because Taj Bradley's given up 8 homers on the year. He's been worse on the road at home. He had one really bad road outing against the Marlins of all teams. But given the ballpark, given the weather conditions, some rain in the forecast, but it will be warm, and whatever wind there is, it should be blowing out. Carlos Correa homered last night. You know, we talked about some of the home run prop prices we're getting here. Correa is probably your best option to go for a home run for the Twins right now at plus 600, 6-1. I'll take that payout. So that's the way I'm leaning. Just a note on Joe Ryan. He's been excellent this year. You know, last outing was a resumption of a suspended game. So he didn't, you know, had a chance to get the win. He pitched into the ninth. Unfortunately, he couldn't get through that ninth, and Jeron Duran let those inherited runners score, blew the win for him. But I think Ryan's really excellent on here too. So I don't really want to bet any Tampa hitting props, but I think there's a reason why with this pitching matchup, the total is at 8.5, a decently high number. That's why I'm going to go search a home run prop here. And that's what we landed on Correa.
All right, Yankees and the Angels. Saw the Yankees take game one of the series yesterday. Angels had a 7-game winning streak going. They've now lost 3 in a row. Yankees, pretty big favorites on the money line, as you'd expect, minus 192. I know you really like this one, Jeff. Carlos Rodon, what are you looking at for him tonight?
Yeah, we've been using him a lot lately whenever it's his turn in the rotation. And this is the perfect storm. The Angels against left-handers. 286 WOBA, 80 WRC plus, 26.9% K percentage, and 3.8 walk percentage, all against lefties. Rodon still throws with his left hand. And even though he's been a little lucky with the 201 BABIP against, he's like my favorite guy to use in DFS tonight. He's also someone I'm seeking out on the strikeout prop at over 7.5 strikeouts. Again, when I looked at this, it was last night, it was still paying plus 120. I double check to see where you can get your best price on that one as you're looking to seek out a good strikeout prop.
All right, real quick on this one, Jeff, because I was surprised to see this player listed for you. You were a known Corbin Burns fader this season, and yet we like him tonight.
Hey, got to stay nimble. You know, Corbin Burns has found his cutter back, and it's made a ton of difference. Two of his last three starts have come against the Dodgers, yet he's struck out 23 and 20 innings in those three starts. He says he's fixed his cutter. I believe him. Meanwhile, the Pirates are a top five strikeout team. We like attacking the Pirates. So let's go Corbin Burns over 6.5 strikeouts. Again, found that last night at plus money at plus 115.
It's time for our best bets of the night. They're brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and Visa comes in to complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st. That's a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's VSiN.com/GBank. Jeff, your GBank best bet of the night is?
It remains Carlos Rodon over 7.5 Ks. His price is now plus 110 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And just check, Corbin Burns' K prop at 6.5 is now plus 125. So even better. Let's go get it.
Ooh, there we go. I'm going right back to the well. Andrew Nemhard over 11.5 points tonight. Don't mind doubling up, going over 1.5 threes for Nemhard at plus 125. Gone over that number in 7 of the last 10 games overall. On the Knicks side of things, give me Karl Anthony Towns over 1.5 threes. Don't love the price, minus 154, but volume has been there. We'll take a chance on the Josh Hart double-double tonight at plus 360. That's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of Prop Points. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming up next here on VSiN.